to. This is
Cruise Radio Rewind.
Real reviews from real cruisers.
This episode of Cruise Radio Rewind is a review of Royal Caribbean's Ovation of the Seas. This was a ship that was based in Asia, and then in 2019 and 2020, they decided to put the ship in Alaska, and it's been super popular. More on that in a second, though, because if you just got off of a cruise, or if you're coming up on one and you would like to hear a review of that ship, drop me an email, doug@cruiseradio.net. I'll do my best to either move that review to the top of the stack. I'll try. I can't promise you anything. Or if I don't have that review, I'll find someone who has been on the ship, interview them, and put it in the queue. And that's where this interview comes in, because Scott just returned from Ovation of the Seas, and here's the interview we did. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great. How are you today, Doug?
Good, man. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing this review. I've been getting a lot of requests for Ovation of the Seas, and you are pulling it through, Scott. So I appreciate this time you're giving me this evening. So we're going to get started right from the beginning. Before we get to the ship itself, we'll take a step back like we always do. Give me some pre-cruise thoughts. What made you want to take this cruise on Ovation of the Seas in Alaska?
Yeah, for us, Alaska is our favorite destination, and it was our 30th anniversary, my wife and I, and we have some kids as well, and some friends were going along, and so we just something that I loved taking friends to go there. And when we heard about Ovation of the Seas, you know, the biggest ship the Royal Caribbean's ever put into Alaska was going to be coming over from Asia to do it, I hopped all right on it, and we booked it the first day that the cruises were available for that sailing.
Did you find that when you booked it right out of the gate like that, that it was a little bit cheaper?
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We booked a suite, and I watch prices all the time, and it never went down, especially Alaska. You know, if the sooner the advice that people give, the sooner you book, the better off you're going to be. You might get lucky, but it's rare. And so for us, it was definitely the cheapest that we could have gotten for the cabin that we wanted.
You're down in the Tampa area and you made your way to the Northwest. Where was that? Seattle?
Round trip out of Seattle.
Okay, very good. Did you do any pre-cruise time in Seattle?
We did. Cruise left on Friday. We flew in on Wednesday. So Wednesday was just kind of get in the evening. So Thursday, we spent the day kind of playing tourist around Seattle, see the Space Needle, the museum. We went up in a different tall building. There's a skyscraper that's downtown Seattle. I forget what it's called. Sorry. It's a little bit taller than the Space Needle. We went up in that to see, you know, the Space Needle's kind of crowded. So we went by there, but we went down to the wharf and saw some of the fishing stuff, and had a really nice day in getting kind of used to the West Coast time and enjoying some really nice weather in Seattle.
Was that the Smith Tower? Was that what it's called?
Oh, no, it's not Smith.
No. For some reason, that rings a bell, but I could be totally off base here as well. So we'll go right to embarkation. You make your way to the cruise terminal. How was embarkation aboard Ovation?
It was really good. There's been a lot of confusion about some of the, you know, people. You know, Seattle's not a primary, you know, cruise port like the Caribbean at, and so there was a lot of people, different opinions of it. But once we got, you know, we took a shuttle service from our hotel. We were staying in a hotel in downtown Seattle, and they partner with a shuttle company. The advantage of a shuttle company over Uber, the shuttle company basically takes you right to the entrance, where they drop off and collect your bags, whereas Uber has to park, you know, not too far, about a quarter mile, maybe that's probably too far, but a little bit of ways is where Uber drivers have to park, and then you have to manually bring your luggage in from there with, you know, not too bad of a walk. And so the shuttle service was more advantageous for us. And we were traveling with a party of nine, so nine people, lots of luggage, and it worked out really good. Once we got there, they've got it organized pretty good as far as which entrance to go into, as far as different suite levels or crown and anchor levels. But we flew right through check-in, and we're on board very quickly.
So if I understand what you're saying, if you take an Uber to Pier 91, I believe it is, you have to, they don't actually drop you off right in front of the terminal. Only the shuttle does that?
Yeah, it's kind of basically at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. There's a big, the pier, so you imagine the pier, the T, and the T is the road that the shuttle come up to the pier to drop off, and so they're basically at the end of the T where the Uber drivers are directed away from, and they swing in there, drop off passengers, and you basically have to walk down a path to get to the ship, and you have to carry your luggage. There's no porters. I didn't see any porters out there when we drove by. But if you don't have a lot of luggage, and we had, like I said, way too much luggage, so we needed to be dropped off right there. So,
does Royal Caribbean use the fast pass or automated, kind of just scan the barcode from here to here to here, or is it more of a regular check-in process?
That's a good question. I assume, because I've cruised out of Miami with the new port and all that's going on there, and since I not hearing and not knowing what had gone in Seattle, I assume no, but we got there. If you had taken your picture ahead of time and done all your pre-cruise stuff, it would have been, scan a barcode and go off the paper. The only thing that they weren't doing at the Seattle port that like they do in Miami, where you can just, you can actually have your set sail pass on your phone. That's the only thing. They still needed the paper print out there. But everything else, if you had your picture taken, you streamlined through. In fact, I didn't do it because I didn't think we did it. And friends of ours who were with us, they went in a different line and almost went faster than us. And we were in a priority line because they were taking time taking pictures.
You might have already said this. From curb to ship, how long was that?
Probably 15 to 20
okay,
minutes.
Not bad. So you make your way on board Ovation. What were your first impressions?
I'd never been on the class with Royal Cruise on most of all the other ships, not a couple of the real small ones. I was really impressed with it. You're so used to the Royal Promenade, and you hear that Ovation or that class doesn't really have it, but it's nice. It's not a big, huge Royal Promenade, but it's a nice open area, and as soon as it got on, felt good, and it was fun to jump on a cruise ship that we hadn't been on before and to figure it out. So that was really enjoyable. And it was also obviously good to see some friends of ours who had never cruised before who were with us, experience, getting on. And the first thing we did was we went to the ship is known for the area called 270. Mm-hmm. And we went back there because there was something new that I'd never been into. That's the first place we went and saw and started our day.
So, since you've been on pretty much all of Royal Caribbean's ships outside of this class, this is a Quantum class, right?
Correct.
Okay. What class would you compare it to, or what class would you say it was most like?
Ooh, good question. It's a mixture of Freedom and Oasis. If you were to kind of mix those two together, where Freedom's Royal Promenade's not as big as Oasis's is, but it's nice and quaint, and so you had that small quaintness to it. But yet, what Oasis offers is a lot of things to do with, flow riders and zip lines. Ovation has, iFly and other things to do. So to me, that's the blend that they were doing there to keep the intimacy that the smaller ships have, but yet offer a lot of different options for entertainment and things to do that the big ships do.
Cool. So you mentioned earlier that you booked a suite. So what kind of suite did you book, and what did you think of it?
We booked a grand suite, okay. Which is kind of the first full suite level class, and the Royal Caribbean has different suite level classes, and the grand suite is the lowest level in their what they call their sky class that gives you full suite benefits. We loved it a lot. We've been in the grand suites in the Oasis class, and so it was interesting to see how they did it differently. In some cases, we liked the differences, and in some cases, we thought that there were some things that they could have, that we liked better on Oasis class grand suites.
How many of you were staying in the suite?
There was just the four of us, myself, my wife, and my two girls. Our friends were in a obstructed view balcony, and then my father, he was traveling by himself, and he got one of the studio, one-person mm-hmm. balconies.
Yeah.
That is what he got.
Okay. As far as the room layout and space and, enough USB ports for all the chargeables, how was that for you?
Chargeables, electronics was really good. No problems there. It's a very wide cabin, so that was good. Storage-wise was one area where we thought the Oasis class was better than this class. We seemed to lack some places to put some stuff. One of the cabinets, everything had to hang in there at an angle because it wasn't a full depth cabinet. There were just some strange things that were there, so we kind of found there was less places to put stuff than what we would have in the same Grand Suite on an Oasis class ship. Mm-hmm. And then the Oasis class kind of has an area that I call it a kitchenette. It's not the right term for it, but you kind of come into it and it's got the refrigerator's there, and then there's like a little island pedestal bar area. It's kind of a landing area when you come in. This ship had a really small area of that. So we were trying to figure out, well, where did all the room go and all the stuff go? Because we thought they'd be about the same size. So it felt a little bit, just felt different. But we certainly loved the suite class, and there was not really a complaint that we wouldn't do it again. It just was different.
Let's talk about the dining for this 7-night cruise. Now, Royal Caribbean introduced the, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's like is it called dynamic dining, a 3-dining room concept?
When the class was launched, they introduced dynamic dining, but dynamic dining was not a success.
Okay.
For Royal Caribbean. So they basically abandoned the concept and converted everything back to either your early seating, late seating, traditional dining. And then they also have a couple of the dining rooms where they use for with My Time or Anytime Dining. Royal Caribbean calls it My Time Dining, call it Anytime. So it's just pretty much either My Time Dining or traditional dining there. And then just break it up into the different room, the dining rooms that they had built under the dynamic dining concept.
And how was the service and food in those dining rooms?
Not super good. I think probably luck of the draw a lot of times. We had decided to do some My Time Dining so we could have some, I think the early seating started like 5, which we thought was a little bit too early. So we wanted to be able to do that. Plus the port days, when we get to those discussions, are later. So we wanted to be able to eat later on port days. But because we were a group party of 9, there aren't a lot of tables set up. So we ended up getting the same table a lot of times. The servers weren't that great. We had several problems with the server and either remembering what to do or just we couldn't really figure out where there was a disconnect. We had to escalate a couple of the issues to the maitre d', and they took care of it, which they do a very good job. You hate to have to bring stuff up. That's kind of the service was there in the dining room that we didn't really like. Food-wise, normal quality. I kind of thought that the menu options in the main dining were limited compared to what we would traditionally have seen on an Oasis class in the main dining room, where the menu seemed to vary better from one day to the next. There didn't seem to be a lot of variations. They always have the traditional stuff, but the food was good. I'm not a big foodie, so I didn't find any issues with the quality of food. I just thought that the options were limited.
Since you were in a suite, did you get to dine at the Coastal Kitchen?
We did, and it's a little bit difficult when you're with friends that aren't in a suite, and they're not allowed in Coastal Kitchen, understandably. So we had breakfast pretty much every day in Coastal Kitchen. We hadn't done that as a normal thing, but we tried it out, and it just worked out really well. Loved the service. Our kids really loved the service. It's in a great location, great view, so it just kind of took the hecticness of Windjammer buffet out of the mix, and we were able to get anything we wanted. My wife's a big Eggs Benedict person, so she was able to get that pretty much every day, and whatever the girls want, which were super picky, they were able to get that. So we loved Coastal Kitchen. We had dinner in Coastal Kitchen one night. They were gracious enough to allow our full party to have one meal in there as a celebration of our anniversary and my daughter's 6th birthday. So we got to enjoy dinner in there, and it was just outstanding. When we do it on Oasis, when it's just us, we eat in Coastal Kitchen every night. We just absolutely love it. It's the best experience not an upcharge type of dining experience like on a cruise.
How was the Windjammer Marketplace?
Not too bad. Like I said earlier, it's a new class, so the Windjammer was organized different than what we had been traditionally used to, so it took a little bit to figure out where stuff's at. And then once you do that, I like some things, but generally for me, as a there's not a lot of things that I enjoy, but I found it to be sufficient enough for buffet-type food. I had breakfast in there once, I think, the first day, and then we moved to Coastal Kitchen. Lunch a couple of times, and we never ate dinner in there.
Did you do any specialty dining outside of, like, the Coastal Kitchen and the main dining room?
We did not. This ship had Jamie's Italian. It had the traditional Chops Grill, which we wish we would have done, and we were thinking about it as a last minute. It has a Wonderland, mm-hmm. Which is kind of a unique food and dining experience, but we didn't get a chance to. We've done them all on previous classes,
okay. But
the friends of ours and family just kind of decided to stick with the traditional dining offerings and not do any four-feed dining on this cruise.
Any pizza or hot dogs?
Sorrento's is a pizza place, and I forget the name of the hot dog place. I thought the hot dog place was outstanding. It's located right near the sports deck and the pool area. I thought they did a really good job with there. The pizza's down in the, I'm going to always call it Royal Promenade. I forget what Ovation Class calls it, but it's basically down in the area where there's a shopping district. I thought they did a good job of a lot of variety of stuff there and found the pizza to be very good. The only for free type of thing, because this ship has traditionally been sailing over in the Asia market, they had a place on the pool deck, which they called it the Noodle Station. And there was a lot of rumors before what they were going to do with that place when it was going to come over to the U.S. One of the early rumors was it was going to get converted to a Johnny Rockets. But they converted it to a fish and chips kind of place, and I think they called it fish and ships, I think.
Okay.
That type of thing. And it's a mixture of the fish and chips are for free, but if you wanted shrimp and chips, there's an upcharge. So they have a couple of upcharge items and then a couple of no charge items.
Okay.
I only ate there once. I tried the fish and chips. I thought they were very good. The fish was pretty good. A little bit of too much batter, in my opinion, but still was the fish was very good. And then I also paid for the shrimp and chips. And the shrimp unfortunately, I'm going to have to say, was not very good at all. Mm. It was very bland tasted. It didn't really appeal to anything. So I wasn't really wild with the fact that the upcharge didn't bring any extra value, in my opinion.
What kind of upcharge was it?
If I said $5, I'm probably off by maybe 50 cents here or there, but
okay.
It was definitely less than five.
Okay, fair enough. How was the entertainment on this 7-night cruise?
I thought it was good. The big thing to do is the 270 has a show called Pixels, which is a pretty fun, entertaining show that takes advantage of the technology that they use in the 270 lounge, plus the different stages. And it's a really audience engaging kind of singing type of show. It's not a Broadway show like the Oasis Class is known for. So it's a kind of unique entertainment show. So we did that. Really, really enjoyed that. We saw a comedian one night. He was pretty good in the main theater. And then we saw a singer entertainer in the main theater. And we missed the other main show that they put on. We didn't get the chance to see that. And there was one other experience that we really wanted to do, but somehow we missed it on the planner. They have you go into 270 and you, it's called a silent disco, mm-hmm. And everybody who's in there is given a set of headphones, and you choose one or two or three different channels, and then you hear your music in there. But people are out there dancing, and it's kind of fun to sit back and watch them dancing because you don't know what they're hearing, because one person could be listening to this song, and one person is listening to the electric slide, and they're doing electric slide dance or different things like that. So it was kind of fun to watch people dancing without any music and that type of stuff. And we wanted to participate in it, but we didn't get a chance to. We just kind of had a chance to observe it. So we thought it was good.
Yeah. Any bumper cars or North Star or skydiving?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the other, you asked me in the beginning why I booked this. The other one is I'm a big flow rider person. I basically cruise to Flow Ride because I love it so much. And one of my bucket lists was to be able to be on the Flow Rider while in front of a glacier.
Oh, cool.
rode the Flow Rider every day. iFly, we had a chance to, the way Royal's been doing the iFly reservations, they make a small amount available pre-cruise, and then if you didn't get it then, you could get in line day one of the cruise, and it books up pretty quickly. They only allow one time on the iFly per person per sailing, because it's just that popular, so I did get a chance to do the iFly. I personally didn't enjoy that. It was just a personal thing, but my whole family went. The biggest thing for us is my youngest daughter, she's six, and we weren't sure if she was going to do it or not. She kept saying no, and kept saying yes, no, and yes, and no, and no. But a crew member that was an instructor that took care of it was outstanding. He was super engaging with our daughter, and he was able to convince her to give it a try. And it was just absolutely enjoyable to see her. Once she got out there, she had a big, huge smile on her face and just absolutely loved it. So it was a great family experience for all of us to do that with the iFly. I highly recommend it. North Star, we did the North Star one time. It was interesting. We were about ready to get on it, and we had to have an emergency Coast Guard helicopter evacuation at sea happen while we were on the sailing. And so our North Star was delayed because they obviously weren't going to let the North Star go up in the air when there's going to be a helicopter around. And so once we got that taken care of, we went up in the North Star. And a fun trivia item that we learned is that there's actually a bathroom toilet in the North Star that people don't know about. It's down below. And we talked to the crew members, what's that for? I said, well, it's because there are times when people have been stuck up there. And just in case someone gets really, really nervous or has to go, they have the ability to go in the bathroom, which we thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So we did that and had fun with that.
That's something you really wouldn't think of, would you?
No, you wouldn't. No, not at all. And so we got into all the facts around, what's the wind speed that they can't go up in. And, he talked about it's 40 miles an hour is the maximum wind speed that they can't go up in. And he was talking about he was up once and it was like 36 when they went up. But when the time they got all the way up, it had went up to like 44 miles per hour. And he said, that's not a fun time to be up there in this thing hanging in the air. And so it was just interesting to talk to them. And we enjoyed that. You had the ability to book that one also pre-cruise or when you get on. And they also had times where you could just get in line and first come, first serve. So that was pretty good. So some people got a chance to ride it multiple times. The only thing I personally didn't like is the day that we were in front of the glacier, it would be a great time to do that. They put an upcharge on the North Star for that period of time, which was basically a six-hour period when they were transitioning up to and then away from the glacier, and they were charging $50 a person.
Wow.
to use North Star for that. And people were paying it. So, and apparently we learned that you get the extra added experiences, obviously where you were at, but that's the only time where the North Star swung out. Normally it goes up and down, and sometimes it can swing out on the side of the ship. And that's the only time where it also swung out on the side of the ship is on the pay-for enhanced experience that they were offering. But we did not do that. We didn't think that was something we wanted to do.
So does it cost money now to do like iFly and the North Star regularly?
iFly is free all the time. Flow Rider's free, okay. No charge. Bumper cars are no charge. Apparently there's just this enhanced experience on North Star, which for the Alaska trips is they're doing it the day that you travel in to see the glacier. Otherwise, there's no charge.
Let's talk about the sea days. How was it as far as crowds and congestion around the ship?
I thought it was really good. Alaska's one of those, you never know what the weather's going to be and people never know what they want to do. So it was, the pool decks were good. The weather was I would say I would give it on the above average side as far as we just really had great weather every day. To some people it may have been a little chilly, and it certainly was, but it was sunny out and nice. And, so that to me, the reason I mentioned that just is the pool deck seemed to have, occasionally there would be hard to find chairs, but you didn't have to wait too long and you'd be able to find a spot. And just that people seem to be able to, it's just kind of like Oasis, even though there's 5,000 patients in this, I think there's 4,000. The ship does an outstanding job of distributing people, and we had no problems with the crowds anywhere up on the pool deck areas. They have an indoor covered area as well, and that didn't even seem that crowded. Again, the weather was nice, so there wasn't a bunch of people trying to get out of the rain or stay warm. So it did a good job of spreading the people out. I imagine if the weather wasn't good, it may have been a different experience.
Yeah. What was the smoke situation like in and around the casino?
I didn't smell it at all around the casino. We even walking through it a couple times that we did, they kind of put it down in an area where it's not in. You don't have to traverse through it to get from point A to B. If you happen to be down there, you can. So I actually thought, of all the ships that I've been on, I thought the smoking situation in the casino was actually very, very good and not problematic at all. Royal, I know, and I think a lot of crew, the port side of the ship on the pool deck is a smoking area, and I kind of found that was too much area on the port side was dedicated to that, and that was a little bit frustrating, especially in the covered area, when you have a covered area and the smoke comes in there. So to me, that was more problematic than what than the casino as far as smoking.
Let's talk about the ports of call you went to, and what we'll do here is just give us the port of call and give us a highlight, then we'll move to the next one.
Sure. The first stop we went to after leaving Seattle was Juneau. We were there from 12 o'clock until 9, so a good amount of time. We, as we decided, since it was our friends of ours' first cruise, we booked a third-party private helicopter experience and went on a helicopter trip and got a chance to walk out and spend some time on one of the glaciers off of the Juneau ice field. And it was just an amazing experience. So we had done something similar many, many years ago on our first Alaska cruise. So it was great to do that again. And then when we got back after that, they pick you up right there by the port and take you out to the airfield and bring you back to where they dropped you off. And then we just spent some time playing shopping tourist in the town of Juneau. We had wanted to go out to Mendenhall, which is a glacier, which is basically walkable. You can walk to it. When we were in, the last time we were in Alaska was 10 years ago, and you used to be able to take the Juneau City bus out to the Mendenhall Glacier Park, and then for very economical, and then you can walk around. Well, apparently they don't let the city bus go in as far, and so all the private tours, and we thought the private tours to go out there were kind of expensive to just to go out there, so we didn't get a chance to go out to Mendenhall Glacier like we had planned.
And then where did you go next?
After Juneau, the next day we went to Skagway, Alaska, which is a real small town, kind of an old mining. Its popularity came from back in the gold rush, back in the early 1900s when the gold rush happened. That's where everybody would come in off of the water and start their land hike to get up into where the gold was at. And the excursion we did there was through a third-party company it was basically called the Chilkoot Hike and Float. And what that was, we took a car ride, van ride out to this area called Daia. And then from there, we took a hike on the Chilkoot Trail, which is the trail the miners took way back when to start their hike up in there. And so we hiked 2 miles. You do about a half a mile up a pretty steep side of the mountain, and then you half a mile back down, and a really enjoyable mile walk. And we had an outstanding guide. Her name was Becca, and she did an outstanding job with all the different things, because it is it's not a tropical rainforest, it's a temperate rainforest, but it is, because it is a rainforest, there's a lot of neat stuff in there. And And the kids really, really loved that. So they enjoyed the hike. And then after you're done, you know, for a few hours of hiking, we hopped in a river raft and rafted back down a glacier river and then got out, went back to town.
That sounds really cool. Where'd you go next?
After that was the cruise went to what's called Endicott Arm. Mm-hmm. It's like an inlet area that has at the end of it Dawes Glacier. So, you know, different cruise ships go into different places. You may hear, you know, obviously Glacier Bay and Hubbard Glacier. This is called Dawes Glacier. And we went in there that was our glacier. You can't get off the ship in there. Some people think it's a port, but no, it's not. You basically just, it's on the itinerary, you know, because they spend the morning going in and going out. And it was pretty cool. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, beautiful sun. It's the best glacier day I've ever had as far as weather-wise. Again, that was when the top of the ship was the most crowded because everybody's on the top of the ship looking. And the way it worked is he got in there and he got pretty close. I think I watched some pictures of previous sailings and he had been getting a little closer. You know, it's obviously ice is a very fluid thing with the ship, so they have to watch that. But he got pretty close. And then once he got into an area, he spun the ship around at least twice, where he basically, you know, just spins it around. Lets people on, you know, stay in their balcony or whatever it is, and then after he does that, turns around and heads back out, and then after that, you do that starting probably about 6 to 7 in the morning until about, you know, 11 o'clock or 12, and then after that it's a sea day, and then the last stop that we had after is Victoria, British Columbia. Mm-hmm. The ship stops there for a day, so we got a chance to do. Some local touring around the town of Victoria and just enjoyed ourselves there.
And then right after Victoria is basically like Seattle the next morning?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, Victoria's the last day. You have to stop in a foreign, that's the whole foreign port requirement that, you know, the cruise ships have to do.
Wow, it sounds like you had an amazing cruise.
It was absolutely amazing. We just, you know, this was our fifth Alaska cruise. Like mm-hmm. I said, it's our favorite thing to do. And if it wasn't for the flight and the fact that Alaska cruises are traditionally more expensive, we'd probably do it more often than Caribbean cruises. But it had been 10 years since we had done it, so it was a perfect opportunity to get back up there. And we just absolutely loved it. Had great weather. We'd never been this early. We had done one in August, a couple in July, mm-hmm. And then one in early September. You know, so I wanted to do one a little bit in the June to see how the weather was and the wildlife. And you know, we got a chance to see an awful lot of wildlife. I happened to be walking into my cabin. You know, my girls were just sitting there on the couch, and I walked into the cabin. And as I looked out the balcony, literally a whale breached, and you know, not the tail, but the whole whale came up out of the water, little baby whale, and right there in front of our cabin. And we all freaked out, and you know, that type of thing. So it was just an amazing experience.
How was debarkation?
It was the smoothest I've ever had on any cruise ship. We got up, we had breakfast at Coastal Kitchen. A friend of ours had breakfast in the main dining room, and we met at 8:30, and we literally just walked off the ship. It was so easy, and they were walking off ahead of their luggage. Their luggage was already there, and it was the easiest thing we ever had. And we used the same shuttle service that brought us to the pier. Mm-hmm. Same thing, they can come in and pick you up right there. So they met us right there at a spot where, again, if you wanted to take Uber or Lyft, you'd have to walk your luggage out to the same area where they would have dropped you off at. And then they took us back to our hotel.
Nice. I want to go back a couple of minutes, and because you have two daughters, what do they think of the kids program?
Very good question. My oldest daughter absolutely loves it. She never wants to leave. You know, our biggest complaint with Royal is with the kids program is that they have hours in which they close it. my oldest would love to just stay in there. And her big thing is to actually stay there late. She likes to be the last one getting out of it. So my oldest loves it. My youngest, once she's in there, she absolutely has a great time. So they do a really, really good job. What was different for them, they really just enjoyed was they had friends of theirs who were exactly their age. So they really had a great time and enjoyed themselves. And you know, it's a small areas, but they do a good job of mixing up the activities, and they had a great time, and the staff was outstanding. So
Yeah, nice. Do you have any tips to offer for Ovation of the Seas in Alaska?
Yes, if you don't get a chance to book iFly or North Star pre-cruise, again, like I said, they pop up, and the world doesn't announce it. So if you're on discussion boards or Facebook groups, pay attention. Someone's always usually watching. Jump on them. But if you miss it, don't worry. The first day of the cruise, you can make iFly reservations and North Star reservations. And there's lots of availability on first day. You may have to stand in line to do that. So think about that. Like I said, North Star does have first come, first serve. So if you don't get any reservations or not sure when you want to do it, look in the compass and look for times where they do first come, first serve for North Star. You know, I mentioned the fun fact about the toilet, that type of thing. But you know, it's a great cruise ship. Like I said, lots of activity. You know, it's probably like Oasis Class. You're not going to be able to do it all in one sailing, but if you can, you'll be pretty exhausted at the end of your cruise because you did a lot of things.
Scott, did you get the internet package or the drink package by chance?
Did not get the drink package. We did get the refreshment package. My wife did. She's a big coffee drinker. Mm-hmm. So the refreshment package is basically coffee, virgin frozen drinks, waters, fresh squeezed orange juice, and I think there's a couple of other things on there. She got that. Oh, the soda. And so they have freestyle machines on board. So she got that. But I didn't get a drink package. Because we were in a suite, one of the suite benefits is everybody in the cabin gets the internet, and that's part of the, you don't pay for that. So we had the internet as part of being a suite. And then the other thing is we're Diamond members with Royal Caribbean, which means we get access to the Diamond Lounge, which has drinks in the evening. And then the suite lounge also had drinks. So we had plenty of opportunity for drinks to get to in the evening. And if you don't get to the lounge, because we're Diamond members, we get 3 free drinks out in the bars throughout the ship. So we had plenty of opportunity to take advantage of that and use up those drinks in the evening.
Well, in closing here, Scott, final thoughts of Ovation of the Seas.
If you haven't done Alaska, I say do it. It's just a wonderful experience. It's ever-changing, but yet still always awe-inspiring, and loved it. You know, if you like big ships, if you're a big ship person, you would definitely do Ovation. She's coming back next year. And, I don't know what, future years, but definitely Ovation's a great ship to do. But if you don't like big ships, then Radiance has been another one of Royal ships. That's the one we had been on previously up in Alaska. And I highly recommend Radiance Class and the Radiance of the Seas for there. But basically, my biggest final thought is, if you haven't done it, do it. If you want to do it again, absolutely do it again, because it's just a wonderful, to me, it's what cruising's all about, where you're at sea and seeing things, and then it's just a wonderful experience.
We've been talking with Scott about Scott Parker, which, by the way, random, like, I wonder if we're related somewhere down the line, right?
Not related, but in name only.
Yeah, Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show, my friend.
You're welcome. You have a great one. Thank you.
As I said at the top of the show, I welcome your reviews if you would like to share one, doug@cruiseradio.net. All right, Craiger, it's your turn.
Today's show is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/cruise. Choose from over 150,000 titles delivered straight to your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or tablet at audibletrial.com/cruise.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 U.S.-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pair.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.